Take your Bibles this morning and turn over, please, to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 passage. Is that a little too loud for you? It sounds awfully loud here. No? Oh, okay. I'm bouncing off the walls, huh? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read at verse 13 to the end of the chapter. Then we'll go over to Romans chapter 12. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, 13. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God raised the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexual immorality person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And then Romans chapter 12, again, just to remind you of those couple of verses there that we keep going back to. Paul says there in Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Congregation of Christ, the Apostle Paul here is now looking at the subject of the Christian and how we use our bodies. You remember when we started our series, we had a general message about the subject of holiness, what it is, and we kind of defined it in the following manner. We said that holiness is when a child of God, and you realize that there is no holiness until you start off as a child of God. You need to be saved first before you can begin to live the holy life. But when the child of God is transformed by the Spirit of God into the likeness of the Son of God and is living according to the known will of God for the glory of God, that's what holiness is all about. Every one of those aspects are very important. Now, in our lesson last week, we began to look at three specific areas of our life where God wants us to manifest the holy life. And the first one, of course, had to do with our mind. This is where it all starts. Whatever we put into our mind is going to affect what we do in our life. It's the same old story like in the computer world. Garbage in, garbage out. You put the bad stuff in, you're going to have the wrong kind of things coming out of your life as well. So, we looked first of all then at the renewed mind. Now today we go to the yielded body. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll look at the surrendered will. That's the other one of the three things that we're going to talk about as part of this series. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he talks about our bodies, uses the word in two different ways. Sometimes he's talking about our total person, everything that we are. Not just our physical appendages, but also our spirit and our soul, our will. It's all incorporated in what we call the body. However, there are times in the scriptures, and I think that's what's happening now here in the two passages we read, that in these passages, Paul is talking not about our total being, although certainly that is to be dedicated to the Lord, but he's talking here specifically about our physical body, how we use this material, physical body that the Lord has given to us. And of course, we can use this body either to glorify God or we can use it to dishonor Him. Over the years, there have been a lot of debate in religious circles about the body. Some people who are very legalistic said the best thing we can do is to do everything we can to punish our body or to put it down and to put it under. People did all kinds of bizarre things, wore strange clothes, and there was one man, Simon Stylites, who went and lived on top of a pole for I don't know how many years. Now, what that has to do with holiness, I have no idea. But you see, that was just one of those extreme measures that people sometimes take to somehow put their body down. On the other hand, there was the opposite extreme. There was more what we would call the libertine approach to the body, and that was what the Greeks often did. They said, your soul matters. But what you do with your body, hey, whatever you want to do, have at it. Indulge your body if you want. That was the Greek philosophy. And of course, the Apostle Paul did not represent either of those. Now, in the Corinthian letter that we just read a moment ago, Paul is writing primarily to a Gentile audience that has been influenced by Greek philosophy. And so he talks very clearly about the importance of using the body in a proper way. And this is because of the situation faced in Corinth, too. Corinth, even though it was a Christian church, and the people that were there had professed Christ, and they had spiritual gifts. The Bible says they came behind to no spiritual gifts. Yet, they were still, in many regards, living like the world. They had fallen into all of the other practices that were all around them. Some of them were still going over to eat at the temple and the idol temples that were there. And, of course, that often meant a visit to the temple prostitute as well. That was all part of the culture of the day, and many of them were still caught up in that kind of thing. The true believer in Jesus Christ wants to use their body always for the glory of God and for that only. You think of all the different ways that you can use your body that is not for God's glory. Gluttony is one of them. You know, sometimes we think about sins of the body, we always think about sexual sins, and certainly that is part of the picture, but you know what? Gluttony can be a wrong use of the body. Intoxication, drug abuse, wrong use of the body. Sometimes even being so idle and lazy about habits that our bodies are not being used for the glory of God as they should. Sometimes laziness can even be a part of the misuse of the body, as well as things like sexual immorality. Sometimes, too, like Linda was talking about today in some of her words this morning, the body can almost become our idol. We see this sometimes on the lives of those who are in the entertainment industry. And, of course, everything about that is, you know, how do you look when you walk on stage? How do you look when you're on television? I've heard it said that the television, though it certainly can enhance people and make them look really impressive, yet even the camera itself can age you 10 years just by being in front of the camera. And, of course, these people then who are in the entertainment industry, what do? They almost worship the body. They're concerned as they get older. What am I going to do? How am I going to maintain my income and my stature as an entertainer in the world? And they focus all their attention on glorifying themselves by making their body as incredible as they possibly can. Now, in the passages that we read today, I want to look at just three things with you that the Bible talks about what our bodies are supposed to be. And the first one is, the Bible says that our body is to be the temple of God. Okay? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Look at verse 19 there of chapter 6 of Corinthians. What does it tell us there? It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, and so forth. If you're a true Christian, what's one of the things that characterizes a true Christian? A true Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living in your heart. Now, what that means is that God is actually living inside of us if we are Christian. The Bible says that we are worshiping a God who is what? He's Father, He's the Son, Jesus, and He's the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Holy Trinity, that lives inside of our heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, who guides us in the way that we ought to walk. The Bible says that we are to be led by the Spirit of God, so that everything we do is being motivated by the Spirit's direction. Now, how often, though, however, instead of living by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, what do? We find that we often give in to our sinful desires, whatever they might be, that often involve wrongful use of the body in one way or another. And, of course, when that happens, we're adopting the same kind of sinful attitudes and lifestyles that are found in the world around us. They are the ones that are unholy, they are against the will of God, and instead of living like Christians, we find ourselves living just like the unsaved world. Now, God, of course, is serious about the fact that He wants us to live for His glory. Serious consideration of God's mercies ought also to prompt us to offer our bodies to Him as living sacrifices. If God lives right in your life, inside your body, what are you going to do? Are you going to live like an unsaved man or woman? Are you going to go out and live your life in a careless, flippant manner and say, well, okay, you know, isn't it great? God saved me, and I know He saved me because the Holy Spirit is now living in my heart. And that says that if a man doesn't have the Spirit, why, he's not none of Christ, but I know I have the Holy Spirit, so I am one of Christ. So what does it matter? Is that how you want to represent your life before God, who is living right there inside of you? You know, sometimes if we stop and think who might be around us, it can make a difference in our lives. I can remember that in school we were always, if the teacher was out of the room, things often happened in the classroom that didn't happen when the teacher was in the room. And of course, when the teacher was out of the room, people might start monkeying around where they shouldn't. And you know what? What are they going to do? One eye is, you know, on what everybody's doing. And on the other hand, the other eye is looking at the door, wondering how long will it be before that teacher gets back in the room. Because, you know, we don't want to live the same way if the teacher's in the room. And, you know, the Bible, of course, says that we have something far more important than that. It's not a matter of the teacher living in the room, but the Holy Spirit Himself, who is not only the teacher, the counselor, the one who illuminates and empowers us and directs us and everything else, very, very God Himself is living right inside of us. How should that impact our lives? We ought to be living differently just because He lives in us. Now, part of that, knowing that He lives there, ought to lead us to what? A commitment to God, a holy worship, if you will. Paul says that we are to offer our bodies as a temple to God, which is our reasonable service. But that word reasonable service can actually mean or our spiritual worship. When do we worship God? You say, well, we're doing it right now here, aren't we? Yes. But you know what? Worship isn't just a Sunday thing. It's not just something that happens at 11 o'clock every Sunday. It's something that happens every day of our life because God is living inside of us. If He lives inside of us right now, then we ought to be living for Him and honoring Him and glorifying Him. We ought to be worshiping Him by the way we live. Now, I didn't say this is easy, but certainly that is the teaching of the Word of God. And we want to know what God says about it, not just what we think. If God is living inside of us, and He is, then it should affect our service, how we respond to others, how we treat others. It should affect our praise. We ought to come together and be ready to praise the Lord because He lives right inside of us. We ought to be able to also even use our possessions, whatever they might be, not just the offerings, but even our tangible material blessings that we have. We can use them in many different ways to bring glory and honor to the Lord. We see that here with, Mike's guitar. It's a tangible thing, and yet it's one of his possessions, but yet it can be used to bring glory to God. Everything we have can be used for his glory and for his praise. So, first question today, ask yourself this. When you are living for the Lord, are you trying to let your body function as the very temple of the Holy Spirit, which in fact it is and ought to be in the manner in which we live? Now, Paul says there's a second thing that is also true about our bodies, and that is found in the book of Romans. There, Paul tells us in Romans 6:13 that our bodies can be either used as instruments of righteousness or instruments of unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Anything in this world can be used for good, for the glory of God, or it can be used for evil, to bring dishonor to the Lord. You know, you take something as simple as a kitchen knife. We might have a knife here in the kitchen. That knife, of course, can be used to serve the Lord. It can be used to prepare meals and many other things. But you know what? That same knife can be misused and it can become a very terrible thing. Same thing with our automobiles. We drive our cars. Cars are a blessing. They're a wonderful source of transportation. We wouldn't want to be without them. But you know what? The same thing that is so wonderful for our transportation can become what? The very means of destruction for others too, if we're careless or misuse that privilege. And so you see, the same thing is true with our body. They're either tools to be used for God, or they are tools that are being used for the opposite of serving God. And the Bible, of course, tells us that we need to let our bodies become the very tools or instruments of righteousness. Now, just as Jesus Christ used his entire human body that he took on in order to accomplish the will of God here on earth, you and I need to yield our bodies to Christ so that he might continue God's work through us. Jesus, as eternal God, did he have a body before he chose to come into the world to be our Savior? The answer is no. Bible in Philippians tells us that he became like us. He took on a body. He became identified with us. And why did he do that? To live among us? To teach among us? To disciple his followers? To die on the cross? To rise from the dead, even in his body? And to do all of these things in order to carry out what? The Father in heaven's mission. God sent him on a mission to do, and that mission was to be accomplished in the body by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when Jesus was here on earth, he could look at his whole life and he could say, you know what, Lord, Father in heaven, I always do the things you tell me to do. Everything you've sent me to do, the entire mission, I have accomplished it. I am accomplishing it. I'm doing everything that you asked me to do. Now, just as Jesus did that in his earthly physical body and did everything the Father sent him to do, that's what we ought to be seeking to do as well. We ought to say, Lord, you've given me my life. You know, you've not only given me a clear mind to think with, I see nowadays more and more how important that is. You know, the day may come when we may no longer have that clear mind anymore. We hear about that all the time, people who no longer are able to think clearly the way they once did. But you know, while we have the use of our mind, we ought to use our mind to serve the Lord. And the same thing is true with our bodies. You know, our bodies aren't going to be always as strong as they once were either. They get older. They can't move about as quickly. Things happen with our body. But you know what? As long as God has given us our physical body, we need to use it in every way we can to carry out the mission that God has given to us, to carry on the work, to become tools that are used in his service. And so our body is a very important thing. Before we trusted Christ, of course, we used to use our bodies for what? For all sorts of sinful things and purposes. But now that we belong to Christ, we want to use our bodies for his glory. That's what our earthly life is to be all about. Now, one other thing about the body that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is this. He said, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. so glorify God in your body. Sometimes you hear people say things like this, you know, it's my life. What difference does it make how I choose to live it? You live life the way you want to, and I'm going to live life the way that I want to because it's my life. You know what? If you're a Christian, the answer to that question is it your life? No. It's not your life. You say, well, whose life is it then? It's a life that belongs to Jesus Christ. Your body is owned by Him. He bought it. You say, well, that sounds like slavery to me. Well, you know what? It is, but it's the best kind of slavery that you could ever have. Before we become Christians, we are slaves to sin. Look around you at the world, people who are enslaved to a life of sin, a life of living apart from Jesus Christ. People say, well, that's the way I want to live. You know, I've got real freedom there. Oh, yeah? Look at people who are living that way. Do they look like they're free? You see people in all kinds of situations that are horrible. All kinds of diseases, all kinds of habits, all kinds of lifestyles that are totally destructive in every way. And why? Because they're not being led by the Lord. They're not being used to glorify Him. They are slaves to sin. They are slaves to Satan. But you know what? When you become a Christian, the Bible says that Jesus not only buys you and you become His, but the Bible also says that when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. The freest man in all the world, the freest woman, is the one who belongs to Jesus Christ and who is willing to live for God in every way. When you live God's way, you're going to find out that God's way really is the best way. God's way really is the right way. We can trust Him because, you know, everything that God asks us to do, everything He says, look, now that you belong to me, here's what I want you to do. You know what? If we do it God's way, we'll find out as time goes on that that is the best way. God never tells us anything but what is only for our good. But a lot of times we think, I have the right over my life and over my body. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. We are the Lord's, both by reason of creation. He made us all that we are. But we also are the Lord's by way of redemption or salvation. That's what Paul's talking about. His ownership takes us back to Calvary, where Jesus bought us with a price. What was the price tag that was on you in order for you to become a slave of God, a slave of righteousness, a slave that is now living in the kingdom of liberty and freedom? What was the price that was on you? The price tag was the death of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God was so concerned about you and how you would live that He wanted you to belong to Him, and He was even willing to die that it might happen. At the cross, Jesus Christ not only paid for our sins, but He also broke the power of sin. Jesus Christ is not only our Savior, the Bible says that He is our sanctifier. He's the one who not only brings forgiveness, but He's the one who helps us turn away from sin and to live for Him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, yet it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself up for me. That's real living. Jesus living in you, Jesus owning you, you functioning as a very tool and instrument of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if the believer uses their body in sinful and selfish ways, then in reality, what are they really doing? They're acting like a thief. Anybody here like to hear about thieves? If somebody came by and stole one of your possessions, if maybe one day you went to bed at night and all of a sudden you woke up the next morning, you found out that that new car that you bought that was sitting out in the yard, somebody during the night had taken it. It was gone. You'd say, man, I've got to find that guy. We better find out whoever it was that stole my stuff. Well, why is it then, if we have been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ and if we belong to Him, why is it that we're always trying to get away from our owner? Why are we always trying to act like we have freedom and liberty? Really, what we're doing, we're acting like thieves when we do that. And the Bible says that we're not to be thieves, we're not to steal. Your body doesn't belong to you. It shouldn't be tried to be lived for you. It ought to be lived for the Lord. And you know what? You'll find out that in the end, that still is the best way to serve God. So far in our study, as I said, we've looked at two of the three steps that I wanted to talk about. One being that we need a renewed mind, and secondly, that we need a yielded body. That's what we've been talking about today. In our next study, we're going to consider the third step, namely a surrendered will. But realize that all of these things work together. Your mind controls how you use your body. That's why it's important to have a renewed mind. But on the other hand, it is your will that controls how you use your mind. Your mind controls the body, but the will is going to determine how you use your mind. So that's what we want to look at next week and focus in on the fact that the choices that we make, the decisions that we make, have everything to do with whether or not we are going to be moving in the direction of a holy life that God wants for us. Let's close with prayer now. Our Father in heaven, we look at these things today, and it's good that we just are reminded of some very basic things about our bodies. And Lord, we realize that this is all part of the holy life that you've called us to live. We are not our own. We belong to you. We are to be instruments of righteousness for you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit wherein you have chosen to dwell. Lord, may it be that every one of these things reminds us that you have called us to a different life. We're not in the old life anymore. We're not in the old kingdom of sin and of Satan to which we once belonged, but we have been transferred from that kingdom into the kingdom of light. We are now in a whole new world, and therefore we ought to begin to live in accordance to the world in which we now belong. Lord, forgive us for our failures, for our shortcomings, for our apathy, for our following the world's standards and the world's ideas so easily. Lord, help us to realize that this is all contrary to your will and way. Lord Jesus, thank you for saving us. Thank you for taking us out of the drudgery of the life of sin and bringing us now into the new life. Lord, we know that we are not perfect, but we are thankful that you have promised us in your word that we can move from glory to glory and from grace to grace. Lord, that's what we want. We want to become more like Jesus because that's why you saved us. And so, Lord, help us to be that kind of man, that kind of woman. Hear our prayer now, and we pray these things, asking them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We pray it in his name. Amen.